This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable and should shake every American to the core, to their core, to our collective core. The fight continues, it will continue until we correct the course that we are on.
This may be a long fight. Hope you're ready.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Hope I'm ready.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast. That's heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADRM, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today, where, of course, we begin another week with the too well-worn phrase, a lot has happened since we last spoke late last week and into the beginning of the week, including on Monday morning, Donald Trump's attempt to save face and to save the U.S. economy by caving on the massive 145% tariffs that he had levied against China to be paid by the American people. By the way, the stock market reacted very positively to that news today that Trump caved, that he agreed to kick the can down the road again, as he does on these tariffs, at least somewhat, for 90 days in exchange for from China. He got, well, not much that anybody has noticed so far, but it made the markets happy today. Perhaps if we see some more of this, a few more days like this, the markets will eventually get as high as they were during Joe Biden's presidency.
I have an idea.
You do? What's your idea,
Desi
Doyen?
Let's not do these silly trade wars.
What?
It's a crazy idea, I know, but, you know, let's
how
go back
can
to where we
how can he
from.
Be a hero if he doesn't create a disaster from which he can then save us?
Aha, brilliant.
That's our producer, Desi Doyen. You can blame her for whatever happens from here on out. Also today, Trump's attempt to hope that you do not notice the mess that he made to the economy by declaring unilaterally in another one of his executive orders that the U.S. pharmaceutical prices would be magically lowered for American consumers at his command and within 30 days because he is demanding it of the private pharmaceutical companies. Anyway, maybe we'll get to more on that and much more today, including your calls, if we can get to them. Yes, it has been a while, at 818-985-5735, if you are in our live Southern California listening area, 818-985-5735, or if you're listening anywhere live across the globe via our kpfk.org live web stream. And you'd like to ring in on anything we have to discuss today, or for that matter, anything else, as we work to keep the lines of communication open here. We are in the last week of our spring fun drive here at KPFK, my flagship station in Los Angeles. So to join me on air, you'll need to call in and hit button number one. But please do consider calling into that number, 818-985-KPFK, and hitting button number two to to help support the broadcast and KPFK and Pacifica Radio with a donation. If you're listening via podcast after the show or even during, you can also go anytime to kpfk.org, pick out any one or more of a ton of great thank you gifts that KPFK has made available for your continuing support. I am eyeing that 4-CD Glenn Miller set myself, personally. 818-985-5735. It's our last week. We've got to make up some ground. So please give us a call. Write down that number and use it. But one story that broke late on Friday, I want to make sure it does not disappear beneath the noise of today's news and the rest of the stuff that overtook it over the weekend. We have, of course, been covering the continuing story of the Trump administration's fascist detentions, abductions, really, and detentions and removal of migrants in this country. Often those who are here perfectly legally without due process required by the Constitution. And in many cases, they're being removed to maximum security prisons in other countries where they have never lived. But they're now facing a life sentence in those prisons in intolerable conditions without the ability to challenge their removal at all from the U.S. in the first place, much less challenge their imprisonment, perhaps for life. And make no mistake, while detention is not supposed to be imprisonment. It's not supposed to be punitive. It's simply supposed to be sort of a holding area until a non-citizen's asylum claims are otherwise processed by immigration officials. You know, due process and stuff. So make no mistake, the conditions at many of these prisons, not really detention centers, but prisons, where many of these migrants are now being held, is often horrific. So yes, the first Trump administration came for the migrants, and now they're really coming for the migrants, who they often falsely claim to be criminals. Then they came for the university students who used their constitutional First Amendment rights to protest, including by simply writing op-eds in their student newspaper. Apparently that is now worthy of being snatched off the streets and detained. And yes, by the way, all persons in the U.S. enjoy those First Amendment rights, not just citizens, at least according to the Constitution, if you care to follow it. And then they came for the judges, as you saw at the end of last month when Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan was arrested and frog-marched out of the courthouse by the FBI for allegedly helping an undocumented person avoid being arrested inside her courthouse. And then, late last week, they came for the mayor. The mayor of Newark, New Jersey, the largest city in the Garden State, for doing his job of trying to oversee a private prison that is being used for the detention of migrants in his city, apparently without the proper licenses to operate as such. Should we be seeing a pattern here? Should we be concerned about it? Should we begin to start wondering about if and when they will come for you and me? Newark, New Jersey Mayor Roz Baraka was arrested on Friday afternoon at a new federal immigration detention center before being released around 8 p.m. that night after being accused of trespassing and ignoring warnings to leave the facility, supposedly. Stepping out of an SUV with flashing emergency lights after his release, he told waiting supporters, quote, "The reality is this, I didn't do anything wrong." The mayor said he could not speak about the case, however, citing a promise that he had made to both lawyers and the judge, but he voiced full-throated support for everyone living in his community, immigrants included. Quote, "All of us here, every last one of us, I don't care what background you come from, what nationality, what language you speak," Baraka said. "At some point, we have to stop these people from causing division between us." Baraka, a very popular three-term Democratic mayor who is running now to succeed the term-limited Democratic Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey, has embraced the fight with the Trump administration over illegal immigration. He has aggressively pushed back against the construction and the opening of the 1,000-bed Delaney Hall Detention Center in Newark, arguing that it should not be allowed to open because of building permit issues, which the city, his city, oversees. Linda Baraka, the mayor's wife, accused the federal government of targeting her husband. Quote, they didn't arrest anyone else. They didn't ask anyone else to leave. They wanted to make an example out of the mayor, she said. Alina Haba, Donald Trump's personal defense attorney and now the interim U.S. attorney for New Jersey, claimed on social media that Baraka had trespassed at the detention facility, which is run by a private prison operator by the name of Geo Group. Haba said that Baraka had, quote, chosen to disregard the law. But video of the incident showed that Baraka was arrested on the public side of the gate to the facility. Witnesses said the arrest came after Baraka attempted to join three members of New Jersey's congressional delegation, Congressmembers Robert Menendez, LaMonica McIver, and Bonnie Watson Coleman, all Democrats, who were attempting to enter and inspect the facility. As members of Congress, they're supposed to be allowed access to inspect federal facilities anytime without a heads up. When federal officials blocked Baraka's entry, again, the mayor of the city in which the facility is located, well, an argument broke out and then it continued even after Baraka returned to the public side of the gates. According to Viri Martinez, an activist with the New Jersey Alliance for Immigrant Justice, there was yelling and pushing, quote, the officers swarmed Baraka, threw one of the organizers to the ground, put Baraka in handcuffs, and put him in an unmarked car, she said. The mayor of Newark, by federal officials. The Department of Homeland Security said that as a bus carrying detainees was entering the facility in the afternoon, quote, a group of protesters, including two members of the U.S. House of Representatives, stormed the gates and broke into the detention facility. That, according to DHS, broke in. Yet even after supposedly storming the gates and breaking into this facility, what do you know? Those members of Congress were then allowed to enter and inspect the center. Congresswoman Watson Coleman later said that the DHS statement inaccurately characterized the visit. She said, quote, contrary to a press statement put out by DHS, we did not storm the detention center. She said the author of that press release was so unfamiliar with the facts on the ground that they didn't even correctly count the number of representatives who were present. There were three of them, not two of them. We were exercising our legal oversight function, she said, as we have done at the Elizabeth Detention Center, another one in New Jersey, without incident.
I have a feeling.
I'm having trouble hearing you. You're very soft. All right. You join us later. It could just be me. In any event, in video of that altercation, a federal official in a jacket with a logo of the Homeland Security Investigations Department can be seen telling Baraka that he could not enter the facility because, quote, you are not a Congress member. Well, maybe he's not a Congress member, but he was the mayor. He is the mayor of Newark. Baraka then, after being told that, left that secure area. He rejoined the protesters on the public side of the gate. Video showed him speaking through the gate to a man in a suit on the other side who said, quote, they're talking about coming back to arrest you. He said, I'm not on their property. They can't come out on the street and arrest me. And yet they did. Minutes later, several ICE agents, some wearing face coverings, you know, like thugs working for strongmen dictators, came out and surrounded him. About 20 of them reportedly surrounded him and others who were on the public side of the gate as the protesters cried out, shame, shame, shame. Baraka was then dragged back through the gate in handcuffs this time. Attorney General Matthew Platkin, New Jersey's AG, who is defending a state law barring private immigration detention facilities in the state, criticized the arrest, said that no state or local law enforcement agencies were involved in this. All of this was, frankly, Trump's federal goons dragging an elected mayor into custody. Congressman Menendez said that as members of Congress, they have the right, the legal right, to carry out oversight at DHS facilities without prior notice and have done so twice already this year. But on Friday, quote, throughout every step of his visit, he said ICE attempted to intimidate everyone involved and impede our ability to conduct oversight. After touring the facility, he addressed the crowd, which had quickly gathered in support of the arrest of the mayor of Newark.
I can't begin to describe what happened here today. It started as part of our core functions as members of Congress to conduct oversight of ICE and privately run detention centers, where we waited patiently for over an hour and a half. Just waited. Waited to do what we've done together at Elizabeth Detention Center. We waited. And then we only saw action taking place outside where we were waiting, not knowing what was happening. We walked out to see what was going on. We saw Mayor Baraka out here by himself, mayor of the largest city in New Jersey, waiting for us to come back. ICE brought to meet the mayor of Newark over 20 armed individuals, 20 armed individuals to confront the mayor of Newark, along with three members of Congress. It was an act of intimidation. It was an act of intimidation, not just to the mayor, not just to us, but to everyone watching. We know what ICE has been doing in our communities. We know that the president lied and this administration lies every day when they're saying they're going after criminals. It is not true. They feel no weight of the law. They feel no restraint on what they should be doing. And that was shown in broad daylight today, when they not just arrested the mayor of Newark, but when they put their hands on two members of Congress who are standing behind me. How is this acceptable to anyone in this country? How is this acceptable? I fight along with these two incredible women every day for the people of New Jersey. We fight for the country that we should be. What we saw today is the country that we live in under Donald Trump and his Department of Homeland Security, under his ICE, does not reflect who we are as a country, reflects everything wrong with the moment that we're in. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable and should shake every American to the core, to their core, to our collective core, that this happened today here in the city of Newark, the most inclusive city in New Jersey, with the mayor who represents the city, with the congresswoman who represents the city, and with Bonnie Watson Coleman, who's fought for the people of New Jersey her entire distinguished career. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. And it should be unacceptable to every single person that's watching today. This will not be the end of it. It will not be the end of it when we leave here. It will not be the end of it when we go find Mayor Baraka. It will not be the end of it when we go home tonight. The fight continues. It will continue until we correct the course that we are on.
It was Congressman Robert Menendez Jr., the Democratic New Jersey Congress representative. So, MAGA folks, you okay with all of this? You okay with this? You okay with a president's goons arresting a sitting mayor, an elected mayor of the other party, for simply exercising his right to, at worst here, protest a federal facility in his city, which his office says does not have the appropriate city permits to operate in that city? Would you okay with this? Would you be okay if a Democratic president arrested a Republican mayor for the same thing? 818-985-5735. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear if you are cool with this. I would love to hear your explanation for why this is okay, and if it is not, that it is not. I think it would make a lot of people feel a lot better today if we heard from some of you Republican MAGA voters, or Democratic MAGA voters, or independent MAGA voters, people who voted for Donald Trump. some explanation about this and maybe the idea that you're starting to realize there was a mistake made, that you made a mistake, that you didn't really want federal officials coming in and dragging elected mayors off the streets of New Jersey. Or maybe you did want that. Give me a call, 818-985-KPFK, if you'd like to talk about it. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear how that's okay or not okay. But if you have no problem with the mayor being arrested on supposed allegations that he stormed a facility and that he broke into it, meanwhile, all this is on video, by the way, so they should have no trouble showing him storming and breaking into the facility. But if you're similar, if you're cool with that, maybe you're similarly cool with members of Congress being arrested by the same president's brown shirts. Are you? Because the administration suggested on Saturday, the day after Mayor Baraka's arrest, that New Jersey's Democratic lawmakers who toured the facility a day earlier with authorities, well, they could also now be facing criminal charges. They could also now be scraped off the street by Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security goons. DHS spokesperson Trisha McLaughlin told CNN in an interview on Saturday, quote, "There will likely be more arrests coming." Really? She said, quote, "We actually have body camera footage of some of these members of Congress assaulting the ICE enforcement officers, including body slamming a female ICE officer." Body slamming her. Really? Well, let's see the video. She later tweeted a video of the chaotic incident outside of Delaney Hall, writing, quote, "We will not tolerate assault against our ICE officers, ICE law enforcement agents by members of Congress or anyone else." Alina Haba, again, the top prosecutor now in New Jersey, formerly Donald Trump's own personal criminal defense lawyer, in an interview on Fox News over the weekend, she said, quote, "I'm not going to get into the weeds about things that may or may not be coming." The three lawmakers at the scene were Congress members Bonnie Watson Coleman, Rob Menendez, LaMonica McIver. They all sharply dispute the characterization of the incident made by DHS. Menendez accused the Trump administration of spreading, quote, lies and misinformation, noting again that as members of Congress, they have the legal right to conduct oversight at any DHS facility without prior notice, as they have already done twice this year. Quote, "This is like nothing I have ever seen before," said Menendez, "and I'm shocked and disturbed that something like this happened in our community." Watson Coleman wrote in a post that, quote, "The notion that I or any of my colleagues body slammed armed federal officers is absurd. DHS is lying," she said, "because they know that their agents were out of line." Kind of weird. So will there be further arrests of members of Congress? Well, the video that I have seen certainly doesn't support the notion that one of them body slammed an ICE agent, as the administration is claiming. But we will see. It's also strange that after being body slammed, that members of ICE would allow these three members of Congress to tour the facility without problem. So we'll see. Will they be coming next for the members of Congress? If so, by the way, will you say anything? How about you, MAGA folks? You want to say anything now? 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Some brighter news before we get to your calls and a break and some more news, but a bit of brighter news here, somewhat brighter in the federal thugs in masks rounding up people on the streets and throwing them into detention facility news today. You likely saw the chilling footage of Tufts University graduate student Rumeysa Ozturk rounded up and snatched off the streets. Chilling video by masked federal officials in plain clothes without explanation back in late March before she was then whisked away to a detention center and spent 45 days in ICE custody for the crime, apparently, of having written an op-ed protesting Israel's brutal war and occupation of Gaza. Well, over the weekend, after a month and a half in custody, Ozturk was finally released, by court order, and returned to Massachusetts on Saturday, where she spoke publicly to a crowd of reporters at Boston Logan International Airport following her release. She was joined in speaking by members of her legal team, as well as Democrats Senator Ed Markey and Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, both of Massachusetts. Her release had been ordered a day earlier. Friday afternoon, U.S. District Judge William Sessions of Vermont ordered her immediate release while her case otherwise remains pending. But when the Trump administration did not immediately comply with his order to release her immediately, delaying her release while claiming that it was fitting her with an ankle monitor, because, boy, she looks like a dangerous flight threat, doesn't she? Well, at that point, the judge issued a follow-up order late in the afternoon on Friday that she was to be released unconditionally without any monitoring devices or travel restrictions. And so it happened. Standing next to her lawyers and part of the congressional delegation that visited her while she was in detention, as the university's school paper, the Tufts Daily, reported on Sunday, Ozturk spoke at the end of the conference and thanked her fellow students, her legal team, the Tufts Grad Workers Union, and those who sent her letters while she was in custody in Louisiana, where the Trump administration had sent her in hopes of putting her before a set of judges that they liked better than those in either Massachusetts or Vermont. The quote, "The U.S. is the greatest democracy in the world," the Turkish graduate student here on a student visa said, "and I believe in those values that we share. I have faith in the American system of justice," she added. "This has been a very difficult time for me, for my community at Tufts, but I am so grateful for all the support and kindness and care," she said. Her confidence in the legal system of justice is, I gotta say, impressive after spending 45 days in a lockup for writing an op-ed. I'd like to share her confidence, and for now, at least in most of the lower courts, I do. We will see what happens as things move up the food chain to the more Trump-appointed judges in higher office. But Carol Rose, the executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, offered her thanks to those who helped to procure Ozturk's release, noting, quote, "We are grateful to all of the advocates. The judges, too," she said, "have shown great courage, from judges here in Massachusetts to Vermont to the Second Circuit in New York and beyond. They have checked unlawful executive action and have defended the rule of law." So good news. She's out for now, out of detention down in Louisiana, where she had been for 45 days. But obviously, this story is not over. And there are a lot more folks like Ozturk who we don't even know about because there wasn't video as they were pulled off the streets. A lot of other folks fighting for simple due process. Is this what you wanted? Is this what you voted for? Maybe it is. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Denise in Los Angeles. Hey, Denise, welcome to the broadcast. Is this what you voted for?
It is what I voted for.
Yeah? Why is that?
You know, the whole time Donald Trump was in office and when he got out, the Democrats had no problem lawfare against him for ridiculous things. And
you mean, wait, 1 second. Let's have a conversation here. Ridiculous things like breaking the law, going to court, giving him due process, all of the things that all of these migrants or students are not allowed. Is that what you mean by lawfare?
Well, due process, none of these people came in due process on their way in. Why should they get due process on their way out?
Well, because that's completely untrue, Denise, and I don't know where you got that idea. For example, Ramesa Ozturk was here on a student visa, perfectly legal, nothing unlawful about it, was going to school, graduate student. She was here perfectly legally. And then she was, you know, snatched off the street by guys with masks on and thrown into prison for 45 days. Is that what you mean?
Was she promoting Hamas?
No, actually, she wrote an op-ed condemning Israel for their attacks on Gaza, which I've done as well. Are you suggesting that I should be snatched off the street and thrown into prison for that?
Well, you're not in her situation. She's a foreign student, and she's promoting a terrorist organization.
No, she's not promoting a terrorist organization. Where did you get that idea? Did you read her op-ed?
I'm not sure if I did read her op-ed.
So you're just
op-eds that are.
So
wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Okay.
But most of the op-eds that are supporting Hamas are ridiculous. Jerusalem and Israel have belonged to the Israelites since God gave it to them. So it's not Gaza. It was something created by Yasser Arafat or Palestine. Palestine, not Palestinia, was created by Yasser Arafat. These people don't want a two-state solution. All they want to do is kill the Jews.
They started this war on
October 7th.
Okay, Denise, the woman, Romesa Ozturk at Tufts University, the graduate student, had nothing to do with this war in Israel that you clearly, and I mean this with all due respect, Denise, because I really do appreciate you giving me a call to discuss this, but it sounds like you are really, really, really unfamiliar with the history, not just of this particular war, but of Palestine, of Israel, etc. And that's okay. The point is, even if you're wrong, even if you don't know anything, even if you're, you know, supporting Israel in this case, which has been accused of violating mass human rights, even if you're supporting them, you don't deserve to be scraped up off the street and thrown into prison. Neither do I, and neither does Ozturk, because she is here in the U.S. lawfully and still has all the rights and freedoms afforded to her by the U.S. Constitution, just as you do, Denise. Do you disagree that she has those rights, the rights to free speech, to due process?
Well, I don't think she has the same rights as I do if she's not a United
she
States
does.
Citizen.
She does. She does. Regarding
the United States citizen?
Correct. You can read the First Amendment about it. It talks about persons, and this has been adjudicated long ago. It doesn't talk about citizens. It talks about persons in the U.S.
Citizen of the United States, and she's over here promoting or supporting Hamas by her open op-ed. And
she is not.
Clueless. Like
she is not.
What?
She is not. But even if she was,
the right to come and attack a bunch of peaceful students who are at a festival and rape
nothing,
and kill them.
Nothing.
And burn them.
Nothing.
Right?
That's right. Right.
Israel was minding its own business. And these guys, Gaza, these Gazans, every single one of those citizens, there's no innocent Gazans. They train the kids to want to be terrorists.
Okay, well, I'll explain that to the tens of thousands of babies that have been killed, that it's their fault and that they are to blame. But that said, Denise, hang on, Denise.
You don't know the history of Israel. Yeah. You probably believe in Darwinism. And this is Darwinism carried out because Israel was given to the Israelites, the Jews, by God. Go read Genesis. Go read Genesis
the
Bible.
You don't believe in Darwinism?
I don't necessarily know.
Okay. All right. In any event, here's the deal. No, she was not supporting Hamas. But even if she was, we have freedom of speech, Denise. And I know you may think differently and you don't.
I agree. You can
and,
have freedom of speech.
Right. And I agree.
Action,
I agree with your right.
Promoting.
Hang on, Denise. I agree with your right.
Okay, so the Democrats don't like it when you call a he or her, if you don't use their pronouns, and yet this lady can go write an op-ed about Israel overstepping its bounds.
Yes,
isn't that crazy?
Nope.
Isn't that crazy?
Nope. It's called the rule.
We rename Aunt Jemima, but you can't rename the Gulf of America.
Sure, you can.
Isn't that hilarious? The
Democrats. Not really,
Denise.
You're
a Democrat. You're a Democrat.
I gotta go.
But you guys are nuts. You guys are nuts.
Thank you. I think you've demonstrated how nuts we are. Thanks, Denise. I do appreciate the call. I got to get to a quick break here, and we will come back. And now a lot of people want to ring in. Go figure. 818-985-KPFK. I had hoped to talk about the $400 million grift that Donald Trump is trying to get away with by getting a free airplane from Qatar. We'll try to explain that next, although I see you guys want to talk, so I'd love to talk to you. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to the broadcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and the Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Go already. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. In what may be the most valuable gift ever extended to the United States from a foreign government, ABC News observed in breaking the story on Sunday night, the Trump administration is now preparing to accept a super luxury Boeing 747-8 jumbo jet from the royal family of Qatar. A gift that is to be available for use by President Donald Trump as the new Air Force One. That's nice. Until shortly before he leaves office, at which time the ownership of the plane will be transferred to his Presidential Library Foundation, where he will be then able to continue to use this plane as a private citizen. The gift had been expected to be announced this week when Trump visits Qatar on his first foreign trip of his second term, according to sources familiar with plans. But a senior White House official said the gift will not be presented after all or gifted while the president is in Qatar. Well, of course, that would look terrible, right? Why not? Why not give it to him while he's in Qatar? If it's just fine, if he's completely transparent, if there's nothing unlawful or unconstitutional about it, why not just give it to him? Why not fly him back in it? In a social media post on Sunday night, Trump confirmed his administration was prepared to accept the aircraft valued at some $400 million, and that was before it was outfitted as a flying palace. Trump called it a, quote, very public and transparent transaction with the Defense Department, Trump had previously toured the plane, which was so opulently configured. It is known as, quote, a flying palace, ABC News reports, while it was parked at the West Palm Beach International Airport back in February. So they flew it out here to show Donald Trump what they planned to gift him. The highly unusual, to say the least, unprecedented arrangement, as ABC describes it, is sure to raise questions about whether it is legal for the Trump administration and ultimately the Trump Presidential Library Foundation to accept such a valuable gift from a foreign power. Spoiler alert, it isn't. It isn't legal at all, not by long shot, at least for those of us who still believe the words of the Constitution actually matter. I don't know if my previous caller, Denise, believes that or feels that way, but I do. I support the Constitution. I'm an actual conservative, unlike Denise. But that number of people who clearly do not believe the actual words of the Constitution, that number obviously includes Donald Trump and, unfortunately, perhaps his corrupted U.S. Supreme Court. We'll see. But the Constitution itself is pretty clear on this. It's also clear that Trump is disqualified from serving in public office at all thanks to his violation of the 14th Amendment, the Insurrection Disqualification Clause 14.3. You can read it. It's pretty easy to understand. Also, the president may absolutely be charged with crimes that they commit during their time in office. All of that's very clear, even though the corrupt Republican majority on the court imagined up a clause in the Constitution that doesn't exist that somehow bars the president from being held accountable for any crimes ever. So what does the U.S. Constitution very clearly say about gifts like a $400 million plus jumbo jet from the royal family of Qatar to Donald Trump to keep as a personal present, as a going away prize when he leaves office? What does it say about it in the emoluments clause? What does it say about emoluments and gifts from foreign nations and potentates? Well, you, as I said, you don't have to be a scholar to or a corrupted Supreme Court justice to understand it. It's very simple. It's Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8. Look it up. It reads, and I'll read it word for word here, no person holding any office or profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind, whatever, from any king, prince, or foreign state. That's it. Got it? Pretty clear. So if Trump does want to accept a $400 million gift from a foreign state, well, it must be with the consent of Congress, which has not given any such consent. He thinks he can do it anyway. The Attorney General, Donald Trump's corrupt Attorney General, took a look, a very close look at it and said, well, it's fine as long as Qatar gives it to the Defense Department. And then the Defense Department, right at the end of Donald Trump's term, gives it to the Donald Trump Library Foundation, the private foundation that Donald Trump then has control of and, of course, can continue using the plane. Unbelievable corruption. You guys okay with that? You MAGA folks? Denise, you okay with that? 818-985-KPFK. I got my lines full here, so I better answer some of these calls here. Let me go to James in Venice. Hey, James, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Brad. I was cracking up during Denise's distillation of a MAGA philosophy. It had me in stitches.
Well, it is sad. It is funny, but it is really sad because you can tell she is wildly disinformed. And it's not a matter of, you know, disagreeing with her political opinions. It's just that she has all the facts wrong. So whoever's giving her her facts, it's just, you know, and they're doing it on purpose.
Okay. Yeah. You're starting me up again.
Sorry, James.
I think you should save that recording for posterity.
Yeah.
My main concern, or my main issue.
Yeah.
Is the Attorney General, I think, could be found responsible for manhandling a congresswoman for ordering that to happen. An 80-year-old congresswoman to the ground. I think she should sue her to no end.
Well,
to
be clear, it wasn't the Attorney General who manhandled the congresswoman that you're talking about. It was someone within ICE. I don't know if the Attorney General even cleared this particular...
Didn't she order that level of enforcement?
Unclear. Unclear if it was her. Unclear if it was someone at the Department of Homeland Security, someone at ICE. I don't think we know yet. But,
And what can be done with... I thought the speech by the... congressman mm-hmm. about the situation was inspired. He nailed it.
Yep.
And what can those Congress people do about the same situation?
We will see. They might be able to sue. If, in fact, they were manhandled inappropriately, they might be able to sue. So we'll, you know, we'll see. I think the best thing that all of us can do, and the reason I think I try to do this show every day, is to let people know what is going on, is to add light, add sunshine to what is going on. Because as Washington Post used to say, but I really mean it, democracy dies in darkness. So people need to know what's happening. People need to know what's happening on their watch. People need to know, like Denise, how disinformed they have been, you know, by people who are meaning to confuse them, meaning to trick them. They need to know. So we can talk about it. The courts will hopefully do their business. And, of course, the Congress members, hopefully they do what they need to do. If that includes suing the people responsible for this, then so be it. But I don't know. I don't know, James.
Brad, you nailed it today. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the call. 818-985-KPFK. Did I do that right? There we go. Let me go to Lynn in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Lynn, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
I have a question about compelling the ICE agents who are masked, apparently, and not identifying themselves.
Yep.
I'm wondering, first of all, why can't local authorities, I mean, I'm under the impression that if law enforcement comes and takes me away, they have to identify themselves with a badge and an ID number. Don't they? I mean, isn't that one of the laws of, our, you know, state?
I was going to say, you are under that impression, aren't you?
So first of all, why can't local authorities compel ICE agents to identify themselves? And then, why can't local authorities arrest and prosecute those ICE agents for kidnapping and unlawful detainment? Because if they're... I'm believing that they're just like some people off the streets that, you know, are MAGA people that are wanting to do this to harass people for the giggles.
Well,
so why can't they be prosecuted under local authorities?
We have to. OK, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off there, Lynn. I'll answer you off air because I think we said something we're not supposed to there. The answer to your question, Lynn, in general, is that I'm not an attorney. I don't know. I don't think that local officials have the right to start arresting federal officials. I think that federal officials have a priority here, but I really don't know. That's a question above my pay grade. If you know, please give us a call, 818-985-5735. Let's go to Carmelina in – hang on, Carmelina. There we go. Carmelina in Los Angeles. Hey, Carmelina, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, Brett, thank you for being a pioneer of freedom of speech. We really need America to have a real freedom of speech. Before I tell about, I just want to also mention, I have a lot of Jew friends, but a lot of things also they disagree with Prime Minister about the violation of human rights. Only if we do math. 60,000 people, Palestinian dead, most of them women and kids, and versus 1,200 Israel. It's only math shows how this is a really bad war, is genocide. But anyway, the second, my opinion, because I'm a human rights president, I always looking freedom of speech, human rights.
Yep.
It's all those values given by Constitution, not the Trump, not the Biden. We our country, leader of human rights. If we agree to kill the people, that means we no more longer as a leader of human rights and freedom of speech.
Yeah.
That's my kind of like background. Regarding the gift of the president, we have a president.
Regarding the what of the president?
We have a president of the United States who's Donald Trump, right? The people elected him. We agree he's a president.
Oh.
But if you're looking for deep who he is, he's a businessman. So if the by business purpose of if he getting gift from royal family,
gifts,
that's
yes.
okay. But if he's a president of United States and he getting $400 million gift, that's called legal corruption. So
correct.
He signed up with kind of conflict of interest of United States president cannot accept any gift. Like for example, if you work in a hospital, you give some coworker more than $100 gift, that's called already violation of the status ethic law. So well, then why the president cannot get, can have a gift for $100 billion and
yes.
he's okay with that. So definitely I don't accept that logic. So if he's a businessman, he just acts as a person, he can get gift or give the gift, good luck to him. But if he's a president, getting gift, that's called legal corruption.
Correct. And but here is how they're going to defend this, just so you understand it and you know that it's nonsense when you begin to hear it. First, I read you the Emoluments Clause. It is, you know, as clear as can be, no person holding any office or profit, office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present emolument, office, title of any kind from any king, prince, or foreign state. Easily understood. There is no question that Donald Trump is in violation of that if he accepts this plane, at least unless Congress gives him consent. Now, as far as what you called it, legalized corruption, a lot of people are describing this as out-and-out bribery from a foreign state. But because we have such a terrible U.S. Supreme Court and have had such a terrible U.S. Supreme Court for years now, not just since Donald Trump took office, but going back even beyond that a few years earlier, they changed the entire definition of the crime of bribery. They said it cannot be bribery. Now, I think this is nonsense, but this is what our corrupted U.S. Supreme Court said. It cannot be bribery if you merely give something to an elected official. That elected official has to promise to give you something back. There must be a quid pro quo. And what the administration, the Trump administration, is now saying is, well, this is not bribery because they are giving us a plane, but we are giving them nothing back in return. Never mind whether they are or aren't, whether they're going to do favors for them, whether they're going to be nicer to Qatar than they might otherwise be, whether Donald Trump is going to build a hotel there. This is the claim that they're making. They're saying this is not bribery. Even if you accept that this is not bribery under the U.S. Supreme Court's warped, ridiculous definition of bribery, they are still violating very clearly the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. And there is no way around that, none, zero, unless Congress gives their consent to Donald Trump taking a $400 million plus gift from Qatar and keeping this plane for his own personal use. His parting gift on the way out the door, assuming he parts, which is a happy day.
You know what? I have a more, if I able to add one thing. I was running with candidate for Los Angeles Council and State Assembly recently. The problem what we have right now is the poor educate our American citizens.
Yep.
Do you know, in my district, there is a registered voters, 200,000. Do you know how many people vote last election?
How many?
It's only 20,000. That means American, they don't vote. Only 10% vote, and people give up of this all. They, people more smart, they understand even election, it doesn't work. So we need to teach the people to a little bit more educated like you.
Well,
your like people that we need now, because this is will be coming after. If we don't have a good educated, good informed people, this is all that the government will be do against the people. That's
work.
Why they think we dump. That's why they do the gift 400,000 jet. He can get, if he got this gift, he can get from Putin as well gift. So then it's nonsense.
Yeah, it
nonsense.
Is.
If he's a businessman, he can get gift or give the gift. But if he's a United States president or senator,
I hear you,
you cannot have
Thank you, Carmelita. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. I would only add this to the fact that people, you say they're not educated, which is why they don't turn out and vote. That may be. But the other side of that is, I would really like if elected officials or people who are running for office give the voters a reason to show up. I really don't like blaming voters for being stupid. I would prefer to blame the candidates for not reaching out and giving those voters a reason to make sure they get to the ballot box. Let me go to we've got just a few minutes left, so we're going to have to be quick about it, guys. I am sorry. Eddie in Los Angeles. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. What's up, brother? I got a minute for you at best.
Okay, so I think you already answered my question a couple callers ago. Something about maybe asking a lawyer, because my my question is, as you know, many Americans know that our president right now is undermining and basically breaking the laws of our Constitution.
Yep.
Is there a way that you could do a citizen's arrest on the president?
Good luck getting through the Secret Service doing that. Eddie, I'm not sure that would, I guess in theory that could be done. In practice, I wouldn't try it if I were you. I don't think that's a good idea, but I feel you, and I'm open to all ideas. So, keep them coming. Thanks, brother. Thanks for the call.
Maybe many citizens can get together and do it all together.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's what they did on January 6th.
and that didn't go so well.
Yeah, that was, but, that, that's
but, the but they were okay with that. So maybe that's an idea. All right. Hey, thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks, Eddie. Do I have time for one or two more? Very quickly, Rob in Apple Valley. Hey, Rob. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the MAGA callers. You know, it's good that they're difficult to speak with, and they're difficult, even equally difficult to listen to. But anyways, I have an idea for
America gets fed up,
you know, and so wants to start rounding up the clown show called the Trump administration. They have a jet to fly them out to wherever they want to go, wherever suitable destination would be suitable for them, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're shipping people out to the countries they don't live in. What would be a suitable area or region for these folks to thrive and do what they have to do without destroying us and putting us through all this horrid torture? Anyways, I'm going to let you go. I wanted to make a couple other points, but I'd like to get another call if you can.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. Let me get one more in here. Wait a second. There we go. Okay, there we go. Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike, I got about 30 seconds for you. What's on your mind, my friend? Oh, Mike, do we have him? Did we lose Mike? So much for those 30 seconds. All right, thanks. We'll get Mike next time. Thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. It is greatly appreciated. By the way, especially the call from Denise. It is appreciated. I know we went at it a little bit there. You may not think highly of me. I think highly of you. I'm angry that people have messed with your head as they have. In truth, I mean that. So let's try to keep the conversation going. You can call in next time and yell at me some more if you like. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all the MAGA folks doing that. I don't think we can rebuild this country until we start talking to each other again. So I'll keep trying each and every week. Thank you. Thanks as well to my producer, Desi Doyen. Thanks to my board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, download them all anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. Would love to hear from you. You'll also find me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at the Brad Blog. See you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.